ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
In a controversial and unprecedented move, the University of Sydney's National Tertiary Education Union could become the first branch in Australia to endorse the institutional academic boycott of Israel. Members will today cast votes calling on the university to cut all ties with Israeli academic institutions and immediately stop weapons-related research. This comes as a student-led pro-Gaza encampment at the University of Sydney approaches its second week. And of course, there are other encampments across the country too. The University of Sydney's branch president of the National Tertiary Education Union, known as the NTU, and senior lecturer in the Faculty of Arts and Social Sciences, Nick Reimer, joins us now. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Patricia. Thanks for having me.
You are calling for the institutional academic boycott of Israel. What does that mean in real terms?
Yeah, it means that we're not calling for a boycott of academics who just happen to work at Israeli institutions, universities. We're asking the University of Sydney to cut its ties with Israeli universities institutionally. So that means we're opposing any institution-level collaborations between our universities and universities in Israel, things like exchanges or fellowships or joint funding schemes and any other bilateral agreement and collaboration. We're also calling on the university not to collaborate in any way with the leaders of Israeli universities, you know, people like deans or presidents, because they've made themselves accountable for their university's support for this permanent war on Palestine. And we're also calling on, our colleagues not to attend conferences or other events which are officially sponsored by Israeli universities. So it's an institutional boycott. It's certainly not a boycott of individual Israeli academics.
Yeah, but you can't divorce one from the other. I mean, academics work for the institution. So the consequence of such a boycott, if it was to get up, would be that people who are academics at these institutions wouldn't be able to collaborate, right?
No, absolutely not, Patricia. So if I'm, for instance, currently writing a paper with a colleague in Israel that will be published under both our names, nothing in the institutional boycott prevents that going ahead. That's why I say that it's directed at institutions. And that's been a very carefully, you know, developed and thought out feature of this campaign.
I have to interrupt because it doesn't make sense to me. And if it doesn't make sense to me, it might not make sense to some of the listeners. Others may get it, but I don't. What do you mean? Like, okay, you're working with an Israeli academic on something and they're actually getting paid by their institution to do the work, right? I mean, they're paid as a staff member. So how do you do it without involving the institution?
No, look, it's very clear. This is a tactic which has been called for by Palestinian academics and trade unions for almost 20 years. And it is very clear that just being employed by an Israeli university is not something that renders any academic boycottable. And that's absolutely clear and unambiguous. It's true that people have wanted to sort of muddy the waters by claiming that that's not the case, but that is absolutely the terms of the institutional academic boycott that's being called for and that our members will be voting on at Sydney University today. It's directed at the institution level. The employees at Israeli universities who are affected are ones who are deans or presidents principally. So the ones who have made themselves accountable for the ways that Israeli universities are just essential components in Israel's system of, you know, apartheid and colonialism and now genocide against the Palestinian people.
Hang on a minute. Why are universities to be targeted in that way?
Well, that's a good question. I'm a, I'm an academic working at a university and I'm a president of a university union branch. But it's just simply a matter of fact that Israeli universities have a central role in carrying out and supporting and justifying and strategizing about the strategic priorities of the State of Israel against Palestinians.
No, so there are a range. I don't know if that's accurate at all. That universities are intellectual institutions, you know, because you work for one, where there are a range of views and diversity. Well, they should be. If they're not, they're not doing their intellectually robust job that they should be. So why would you punish universities, which are meant to be kind of the beacon of thinking in all our nations?
Yeah, no, they absolutely should be. You're right, Patricia. It's just a matter of fact, and it's uncontroversial, that as institutions, Israeli universities work in very tight collaboration with the Israeli state. So let me give you some examples of that, because the evidence is in and it's absolutely clear. Israeli universities participate in the training of the Israeli military. They even give, you know, course credit for students for participating in online propaganda against Palestinians and defence of, you know, military actions like what's happening in Gaza at the moment. They participate in extremely extensive and deep weapons research. They maintain institutes, you know, think tanks, which play a very prominent public role in defending the actions of Israel. So, I mean, you know, I just saw an official statement from the Technion in Israel just the other day. The Technion is the sort of principal, you know, scientific university in Israel. It's actually the oldest, you know, Zionist institution. And that official statement was defending the genocide in Gaza as just and unavoidable. So there's just no doubt. There's been a recent book, actually, by an Israeli scholar, Maya Wind, who currently works in Canada, which documents over hundreds of pages exactly this tight, you know, umbilical connection between Israeli higher education institutionally and the war aims of the Israeli state. So that's the basis for the boycott of the institution.
Do you have any other boycotts for any other institutions in countries, Iran, for instance?
Yeah, well, we have at various points called for, you know, cutting of ties with other institutions.
Like which ones?
And with other countries. Well, for example, I can remember a few years ago boycott supporters calling for a boycott of Saudi Arabia.
Iran? Is there any work that happens with Iran?
If we were approached by, you know, the Iranian left calling for an institutional academic boycott of Iran, we would be absolutely open to that. I would be absolutely open to it.
Okay, but I don't know if it stands up your argument. You're saying you wait to be asked. So this is a responsive act. It's not proactive.
Yes, that is true. And the reason it's responsive is just that for 20 years now, lots of groups in Israel, lots of groups in Palestine, so Palestinian universities collectively, the Palestinian General Federation of Trade Unions, and the Palestinian Federation of Unions of University Professors and Employees, have called on their colleagues internationally to take exactly the kinds of steps that we're taking today. And that's what solidarity consists in, I think. I mean, I'm a union branch president. I'm very committed to these ideals of internationalism and solidarity. And when there's a people which is currently undergoing a genocide and is saying, you know, hey, this is what we want you to do, I do think we have an obligation to take that very seriously, and that's what we'll be putting to our members today. Mm. It's important to note, actually, that it's not just the academic boycott that our members will be voting on today. We're also calling on our university to stop its, you know, links with the arms industry generally. So this isn't just about Israel.
Okay. So you're saying, though, if people came to you from Iran and said, could you please boycott our institutions, then you would consider that?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Patricia.
Why not be proactive about it, given their treatment of women in Iran, which has absolutely become a global issue?
Yeah, I mean, the NTEU has a very clear commitment to anti-sexism as well as to anti-racism. I would invite, you know, activists in Iran, in Iranian universities to approach us.
I don't know if they're listening to our show. This is the thing,
you
right?
No, they're probably not. We are proactive on all sorts of issues. We have union caucuses. We have union working groups. What's special about the motion that is coming today is that it does intervene at this, you know, really grave moment of international crisis. I think what's happening in Gaza is probably a generation-defining, you know, moral and political crisis, and it's only appropriate that unions take a stand on it because we're committed to justice generally.
Now, you're at Sydney University, but at Monash they're also having debates. They've sought for the removal of, for instance, banners that say Zionist not welcome slogans after receiving legal advice that it was vilification. Do you accept that things that say Zionist not welcome don't make Jewish students feel safe on campus?
When we talk about safety on campus, I think what we have to talk about is what do we mean when we are referring to a campus? And a campus, as it's traditionally been understood, a university, is a place where ideas, different visions of the world can be robustly, you know, debated, and where there can be confrontations, intellectual confrontations, between different ideas of how human affairs should be conducted that might sometimes be challenging to people or might, you know, be difficult for them. When we're talking about safety in these Gaza encampments, the key fact that strikes me is that just obviously there are many Palestinians, Middle Eastern people and their supporters in those encampments, but there are overwhelming numbers of Jewish people.
Sure, but the actual term, I need to challenge you on this, but the term Zionists not welcome, we know an overwhelming number of Jewish people and Jewish students, therefore, do define themselves as Zionists, and there's different interpretation of what that word means. So if you're saying Zionists not welcome, you're saying they're not welcome on campus. Do you understand why that would be an inflammatory thing to say?
Look, it's crucial what you understand by Zionism. And I mean, you know, the current genocide in Gaza is being justified as necessary to, you know, to the prosecution of Zionism, which I understand as the violent dispossession and colonization of the Palestinian people. The idea that there is a homeland on Palestinian land that belongs by right to Jewish people, and which there is a right for them to take by force, no matter how many millions of Palestinians it involves, the displacement of, the illegal imprisonment of, you know,
That's not how all Jewish people would define Zionism.
No, I'm sure that's true. It's a contested term, right? Most terms in politics are contested. And when Palestine solidarity activists say Zionists not welcome, I think it's pretty clear in this context what they mean. And what they mean is that defenders of this horrifying genocide, Patricia, you know, 100,000 people maimed or killed, tens of thousands waiting to be recovered under the rubble, every university in Gaza destroyed or damaged beyond recognition. It's pretty clear in context, because words have to be seen in context, that that's what Zionism is referring to. And it's a slogan, right? It's meant to be the start of a conversation, I think. And that conversation has been unfolding on university campuses throughout the country and internationally.
Nick, we're out of time. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me, Patricia.
Nick Reamer is the University of Sydney's branch president of the National Tertiary Education Union. And you're listening to RM Breakfast.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.